Is it time for a podcast already?
Check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2.
I go to your seat, lady, cause this one's a screamer.
I didn't know that.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. Tonight, Maddie and I are coming at you with the good, the bad, the sequels. So tonight's episode is pretty much all going to be about sequels that we love, sequels that were better than the originals, and sequels that should not have happened. But first, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. I am a sequels lover. I feel that if your film does well at the box office, you should be given that chance to produce an action-packed awesome of a sequel. So I am a fan of sequels. And I know this week I gave my friend Lauren a preview of some of the movies that I have on my little listy here. And like, I know she's gonna like fight me to the death for some of these, but like sometimes I feel like I just like a sequel than the original, man. Like I just feel like sometimes that happens.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
that's not out of the norm, because I've heard people say that too. And you know what? Here's the even funnier thing too. I've even seen people go as far as saying a prequel was much better than the original.
See, I could agree with that. I could agree with that.
Unfortunately, this episode does not tie any prequel. I don't think we have any prequels in the canon here for a shot tonight.
One of the films that I'm sure is on both of our list has a set of three prequels, if you know where I'm going with this.
If we mean that by reference, yes, we will definitely, we'll acknowledge that.
We can touch base on those prequels.
Yeah, definitely on that one. That's a good point.
So before we get into like the nitty gritty of the episode, guys, we just want to kind of like touch base, see what's going on in the week, remind everybody that our lottery ticket giveaway is still going on. Contact Matt and I if you want to get in on the action there. Matt's already sold
a ton
of tickets, like an overwhelming amount of support so far. And like, I'm really pleased, because when Toys for Tots rolls around, we're going to be able to get so much for this charity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm really thankful to everybody that's participated so far.
Me too. And I just want to say thank you as well, because those that did buy tickets, I mean, you obviously know that it's going towards a good cause. I mean, it's not about us at the end of the day. It's for what we're doing with this giveaway and what it's going towards. And the nice thing, too, is big thank you to Russell Canavari, which is, he's the commander of the Jessup VFW.
Okay.
And he's actually going to be our home base and our drop-off spot for our Toys for Tots.
Okay.
So I think that's awesome. I was just told about this literally probably about an hour ago, actually before we even started our podcast. But yeah, we have a home base, we have a drop-off spot, and it's great because we'll be able to take a picture there, we'll be able to show everybody what we've contributed and what we were able to get. And I just think that that's really good publicity for the community too,
That
it's right here in one of our local spots.
I agree. So thank you everybody for participating so far. You know, you still have a couple, we still have what, like 4 weeks left? No.
We have 4 weeks left, and I could tell you right now, I only have 34 tickets left.
Like, we can obviously get more printed, so that's not a dead issue.
We could, but you gotta let us know, because, I mean, we don't want to get this to be an overwhelming experience, but we also want as many people to be involved with it as well. So, and like Jenna was saying, don't be afraid to message us. Don't be afraid to get in contact. I think a private message on Facebook, now that we're kind of vocal, we're trying to keep the upbeat going now with the social media trend. And a big thank you to that too. I see that a lot of people went over there and gave us a like this week. So thanks for going over to the page.
Like, share,
thanks
tag
for following.
Friends.
Yep. Yeah. And
your standard.
Exactly. So, just private message us. Get in touch with us. We're not hard to get a hold of, believe me.
GarlicJarMedia@gmail.com is probably, like, the easiest, you know, most public access. You know, the email's right on my phone. I check it every day. So that's probably, I feel like, the easiest way to get in touch with us.
Hell yeah!
Yep, and I feel like our email is going to be booming with questions this upcoming semester, so.
Yeah. Yeah, your kids like to participate, which is always nice to see.
They do. They do. And I can't wait for the classes. I'm actually excited for fall semester to start. You know?
I can't believe, you know, tomorrow's the last day for like my summer session too. And then we get a week off and then we're back at it. So I was just, you know, putting some fresh notebooks and highlighters in my Target cart this morning.
Me too. I just went this week. I just picked up some new pads. Got myself a new planner, just started working on that, getting my schedules in, and now prepping my lesson plans.
Nice.
So, yep. Nice. So cool.
So like also on the docket for like things that happened this week, besides our personal lives and our giveaway that's ongoing. So did you happen to catch the Field of Dreams game?
I did. I freaking loved it.
So I did too. And it is no secret that Field of Dreams is not my favorite baseball movie.
I've heard that before.
You know, we did a whole episode on our favorite baseball field or our favorite baseball movies, and Field of Dreams was severely lacking from my list. So, you know, like I remember in 2019 it was announced that they were going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been waiting for this, and like I really 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 wanted to enter the pool. Like the lottery pool, so you could see if you can get tickets. Like the tickets were like $1,500, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
like just you know, like. But I think that would have been like a really cool experience to have. But I feel like they did it perfectly, and especially like you know, like Kevin Costner was there for like the whole week, and he got to like meet with the players, and then right when the game was starting, and he walks out of the cornfield.
I love that,
and I was you know, he's just like looking around, just like in the film. And
that gave me
like,
goosebumps. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And then they had all the players enter right out of the cornfield, like side by side, you know, like White Sox and Yankees. And I was like, this is so cool.
And I love that the Chicago White Sox, they wore those throwbacks. Yep. Oh, my God. That was and that was cool because, like I said, you know, we saw that uniform right there in the movie, you know.
And then
with some of the pastime players,
every time they like panned away from the stadium, you could see like where they shot the movie, just like a stone's throw.
Yep.
You know, like when you saw like the smaller baseball field, that was
it. The smaller field with the bleacher. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
that was cool.
I thought it was really cool, and it turned out to be a really good game, and it was exciting there after like you know the seventh inning. So.
Oh, most definitely. And from what I read, I mean, reviews were just fantastic about this.
They actually said it did great.
Yep, yeah. I do too. I was just thinking the same exact thing. Nowhere to lie.
I hope they do it every year. But here's my other thing. I feel that every team should be able to play at the Field of Dreams.
Like, I do too.
Everybody should play one game. Like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, if you have, like, the West Coast play, like, you know, in their leagues. And I just feel that, like, every player should have a chance to play on the Field of Dreams.
Well,
because do it as a whole, series, you know?
You know, inclusive to include all teams that get to that big show.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Just
you know?
Baseball fans in general, I think, would love it. And I really hope they maintain the field and they keep it up. And I hope they continue to use it.
And I was even thinking, too, I mean, maybe it's, I don't even know if it's actually in the game, but I would think that that'd be a cool venue that they add into the video game, MLB's The Show.
Oh, that would be sweet.
You know?
Yeah, I just got that, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'd have to ask Zach. Zach's not with us this evening, but we'll have, you know what, we'll make sure we lay that question to him. Leegee would know, too, absolutely.
Yeah,
hey, Leegee, if you're listening, let us know. Maybe you could get back to us on it as well.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought it was a really cool game. I was really impressed with everything. And it was a lot of fun. So, what else this week, which I don't know if you've seen, but one of my favorite actors is making a comeback.
Did you see Keanu Reeves?
No, he never went anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Brendan Fraser.
Oh.
Brendan Fraser is on his way back to Hollywood, friends. So, like, if you're a fan of Brendan Fraser, you'll know that, like, he stopped appearing in things and, like...
He did.
Like, 2010, 2013 was, like, you know, like, his little roles. Then he was in, like, two TV shows. And then he finally came back to an FX series called Trust in 2018. And it was all about... I think it was based off a true story.
I believe so, too. I never saw this series, but people recommended it to me a lot.
Yes. It was the Getty family and how, okay. like, the son is kidnapped and the grandfather doesn't want to pay. And
Did
yeah.
he play a law enforcement official?
Did.
Was he, like, a... Okay,
yes,
that's
he was, like,
yep.
the guy from Texas with the 10-gallon hat. Yes. So the whole reason why I watched that show on FX is because Brendan Fraser was in it. That's literally okay. the whole reason why I watched it.
And one thing, too, wasn't... I think that series, wasn't that kind of based off a story?
It's based off of true events, yes.
Yeah, okay. It was based off a true story. Okay, yep. Mm-hmm. So, and that's pretty cool, too. I mean, just to piggyback on what you're saying about Brendan Fraser, because I'm trying to think to myself over here, my God, what was the last thing like I actually really saw him in?
Yes.
And, yeah, it's been quite a while. Like, I don't want to say he took a hiatus, because I think it was just the projects that landed.
Well,
I think
that, and, like,
you know,
he wanted to be with his family.
Yep,
you know what
I know
I mean?
He.
Like...
Yep, I know he wanted. Yep, there was that stress and concern where he wanted to be more of the family man than anything, you know. So, and I give people kudos to that, because the acting industry could be so stressful for people.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? So, I mean, kudos to him. I mean, just, he's an all-around type of guy. I mean, even if you listen to him in interviews and you see how he reacts with fans and stuff like that, this guy's pretty genuine. He doesn't seem like he's a sugarcoater, or how I would like to say, a falsified
right.
persona. You know?
So then he's
He actually
also,
seems pretty genuine.
I don't know, because I know that you like the DC stuff, Matt. Like, have you dabbled into any of, like, the DC shows on HBO Max?
Not really. No? I mean, DC, like, I could get into, like, the movies and stuff, but, okay. like, when it gets to the series shows, yeah, I'm a little bit lacklustered on
All right,
it, you know?
So, like, I'm going to harass you yet again.
Okay, go ahead.
You know.
I can take it. Let's go.
So, number one, everybody knows my love of Teen Titans. I've said it multiple times. Everybody should watch the live
action. I like the cartoon.
The live action series on HBO Max is phenomenal. And season three, just, like, the first three episodes just dropped this week, and I have to watch it, and I'm super excited to do so. But swinging back to Brendan Fraser, he is in the Doom Patrol.
Oh, that's cool. That's a nice connection there.
He's Cliff Steele Robot Man in
nice.
The Doom Patrol.
Okay.
So, like, with these TV series, he's been, like, slowly, like, planting seeds that he's coming back. But
right.
then right now they are filming it's Killers of the Flower Moon, and that's Scorsese's newest film.
Yeah. Yep, another
so
Scorsese film.
So it's going to be, like, Leonardo DiCaprio's in it, John Lithgow's in it, De Niro's in it.
Yeah, you got some big-time players in there.
Yes, and so, like, the whole thing about him, like, coming back is, so, like, there was some sort of Comic-Con last weekend. I don't know which one, if it was, like, GalaxyCon. It was, like, one of the micro ones, and it was on Zoom, and you could do, like, the meet and greets with the stars and have, like, a 5-minute Zoom conversation or whatever. But so there's this girl on TikTok, and I think her handle is Little Lottie, I think, because I just, mm-hmm. she just started showing up on my For You page, like, within the past, like, 3 weeks.
Okay.
And she cosplays as the girl from The Mummy.
Okay.
So she did at the last minute, she did, like, a meet and greet with Brendan Fraser. And
okay.
she was telling him how, like, pretty much everybody on, like, the internet is, like, behind him. And, like, he was, like, getting, like, teary because, like, you know, like, everybody roots for Brendan Fraser.
Yeah,
just,
of course.
Like, everybody wants him to come back. Everybody wants him to have, like, you know, a good return to the film industry.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, like, I thought it was really nice.
Well, you know what, let me piggyback on something, because maybe this is something that you didn't see this week, because talking about the Brendan Fraser comeback, that's what I'm calling it, the Brendan Fraser comeback,
yes.
Well, if we're still talking about the Martin Scorsese film here,
Killers of
Leonardo
the
DiCaprio actually had a little pull in this too, because Leonardo DiCaprio was actually excited about the fact that it was even mentioned as an idea to bring Brendan Fraser in, because he never worked with them.
Oh, okay.
So Leo was on board, and really, I guess the talks and the articles, you could look it up on Deadline, IndieWire, and I believe MovieWeb had an article about this.
Okay.
It literally has confirmed that DiCaprio was ecstatic about it. He actually wanted and thought that was a great candidate for Martin to cast. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the last article, and like I said, I'm just trying to think because I get so many text messages in the week. I believe the article that I read it in was IndieWire.
So here,
because it was talking about the rally.
Here
it is
on Deadline, like you said. Set in 1920s Oklahoma, Killers of the Flower Moon, based on the David Grand bestseller, depicts the serial murder of members of the oil-wealthy Osage Nation, a string of brutal crimes that came to be known as the Reign of Terror.
Wow.
Like, look at the heavy hitters that you have in this film.
Yeah. Jesse Plemons.
Yes.
You said Fraser, Robert De Niro, right?
De Niro, John Lithgow, yep. DiCaprio.
Yep. Exactly. You're not talking about a laid-back film here.
No.
You know?
No, I think this is going to be one for
it's
the
It's
going to
be one for the books.
My friends.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be really good. And I'm really happy. And, like, I know everybody, like, if you read reports of, like, how it is to, like, work with an actor, apparently, like, Brendan Fraser's, like, one of, like, the nicest human beings on the planet. And he's supposedly, like, awesome to work with. So, like, I'm glad, you know, he decided to come back and, like, grace our screens with, you know, his acting skills because, you know, like, I don't think I've met anybody that doesn't like The Mummy. Like, the two Mummy films.
Yeah.
We're going to say the two Mummy films because the third one is just...
Dog shit. It's dog shit. Come on. It's
I'm
okay.
I'm not saying it because it's part of Brendan's work. So, like, we have to be supportive, Matt.
Listen, I love you, Brendan Fraser, but that movie was dog shit.
Which, like, I get it. He didn't have, you know, he was presented with a script. He didn't have a say in the writing. I get it.
Jenna, listen, this is like a moment where somebody asks you, hey, how's this shirt look on me? And you're there,
it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be nice to say it's fine, but really deep down inside, you know it looks like dog shit.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
And he's
I'm
got,
just trying to...
he does have some other things, like... coming up, which I don't know of. Behind the Curtain of Night, The Whale, Big Bug Man. I don't know what those are.
Yeah, he definitely has other projects coming out because I definitely saw it on IMDb. So
yep.
I mean, it's not like this is like the comeback where we're only saying, yeah, this is the only Brendan Fraser project that's actually going on.
No, but I think this movie is gonna like put him back on
it's gonna
the
spark
map.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad. He's coming back, and we get to see more of his work.
And here's another thing, too. Just a quick headline about what happened during this week. Because, I mean, Brendan Fraser's big. The Field of Dreams game was big.
Yeah.
How about finding out that now Scarlett Johansson, we may not see her in another MCU movie or MCU involvement now.
Just Disney involvement in general.
Yeah, Disney involvement, right?
I did see that.
That's
but
such
like,
a bummer.
It is. I'm like, you know what? Like, I disagree with them holding...
I do, too.
The money. Because, like, you pay, what, $30?
Right.
That's, like, the equivalent of, like, two or three movie tickets, depending on what type of movie you see.
Absolutely. 100%. I agree with that.
So, like, I feel like that everybody that
Anybody
is supposed
involved.
To be getting royalties from the box office, that should have been included. Hands
well,
down.
Right. Because, you know, if you're going out there, like Disney or any other type of parent company that releases a film from production, you know, listen... It's just like if you released it in the movies. How is it any different that you're releasing it on your streaming platform? I mean,
I
it's just the virtual version of a theater, you know?
And Emma Stone is saying the same thing.
Yeah,
about,
of course. Probably the
Cruella. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm kind of waiting to see, like, if there was anything discussed between Emily Blunt and Dwayne Johnson for Jungle Cruise. Because, yo, if you guys haven't seen Jungle Cruise yet, it's
I just saw it recently.
Watch. It's phenomenal.
It's awesome. Yeah. I actually think that was one of the best movies I saw in 2021 right so far.
I agree. And, you know, I will give Disney props where props is due. You know what they know how to do, Matt? Make killer movies about their park rides.
Yeah,
Pirates
buddy.
Of the Caribbean, Jungle Cruise. Like, it's just, it was really well thought out. And I've been waiting for this one for, like, you know, since they announced it.
And now, here's what the bummer is, though. Like, you go back now talking about making movies about their rides, right? Now, here you had a film that they were coming up with here for the Tower of Terror, and who was supposed to be in that? Scarlett Johansson.
Wait, they're doing a film?
Yeah, it was in the talks, and Scarlett Johansson was the big talk about taking a leading role for that. Now, is that even going to happen? Is that even going to be considered?
I don't know.
I mean,
I haven't heard anything. And they're replacing... Yeah. They did replace Tower of Terror in Hollywood. It's Guardians of the Galaxy now.
Yeah.
So, in the Avengers campus.
Yeah, look it up if you guys have time. Tower of Terror, Scarlett Johansson. I mean, right now, that conversation is completely... I don't want to say it's dead, but it's completely... How can I say this? It snowed. It snowed out with that snow that you see on the TV. That, you know?
Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens with that.
Totally.
There's also a...
And I apologize. This evening, you're hearing my dogs in the background. I'm joined with other guests here at the Garlic Jar Studio in Dixon City, Pennsylvania. Leia and Olive. Oh, my little beauties. Can you hear them in the back?
Yeah, I can.
I don't know if they're saying quiet down or you rock, Matt.
There you go.
I don't know.
Let's go with the second one.
Let's go with the second one. I believe you have another thing to add into this week of what you heard.
There's one last thing, and it involves, of course, one of my favorite humans. So, on Wednesday, just this past Wednesday, it was the 21 year anniversary of The Replacements. And I know that we did the 20th anniversary of The Replacements last year in one of our episodes. So ESPN was kind enough to post on Wednesday, 21 years ago today, Shane Falco showed up at the halftime and led the Washington Sentinels to the playoffs with a game-winning touchdown pass as time expired.
Oh, God, that is hilarious. Such a great
tribute. You know, like, and that film also gave us one of, like, the best motivational speeches. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever.
And you know what? It had me also respect one of the biggest fears that somebody could ever have.
Bees.
Bees?
Yeah. That was the first thing. That was the first thing they said. What scares you on the field? Yeah. Bees?
Can we talk about anything but insects in here?
Bees? And then Shane says quicksand.
Yeah.
But like, well, not actual quicksand.
No, but you know what? It was so motivational about how he described that. Like, that's what I was getting at, is that the biggest fear of how inspirational it was to those players.
When everything just starts going wrong.
When everything goes wrong. Yeah. Quicksand. You know?
So
I thought that was like a most, I guess you could say like most, one of the most memorable quotes from that movie. And I know that it wasn't intended to be an influential, because I think it was more comedy.
Yeah.
Romance, like drama, not drama. Feel good movie.
Yeah. It's just a fun sports movie. That's 100%. What I call it.
Yep,
like if definitely. I'm ever, when I'm in like certain moods, I guess, like I tend to watch like specific things to like try and get me out of like
that's one movie you could rely on. That's basically what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes. So like I put on The Replacements and like 9 times out of 10, I feel like much better.
Now, see, that's like me throwing on Ernest Scared Stupid, you know, like, okay. I mean, I could just get a field day just laughing at that and just thinking of the Ernest films just to make it so comical. That redneck comedy routine of Ernest P. Worrell, you know, but I love the Halloween one because, I mean, who doesn't love Halloween, you know?
Listen, Matt, it's August, and I still have, like, 8 weeks of summer left, so stuff it. We're not talking fall. Not yet.
Well, you're not going to be pleased with what I did today, then, so I'll just pass that.
Yep, we can save that for another day.
Okay. 28 years ago, though, to piggyback on your, I guess I could say your sports event there, on this date, well, this would go back to August 11th, 1993. If anybody remembers the film Rookie of the Year, with Thomas Ian Nicholas and Gary Busey. Now, that's the film where the young kid played for the Chicago Cubs. He had this, like, this malfunction broken arm where he was, like, firing, like 90-some-mile-per-hour fastballs, almost 100. One of those memorable moments was when he went to his doctor visit and he hit the doctor in the nose. You know, but it's a cool movie. Kind of goes back into all those child actor days where we know those young gun movies. It was up and coming. It was something memorable to us. But 28 years ago, 12-year-old Henry Rowngartner recorded a save in his MLB debut for the Chicago Cubs. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool because we're talking about the sports event. I definitely wanted to mention that because I love Rookie of the Year. That was probably one of my favorite feel good family entertainment sports movies, like Angels in the Outfield, Air Bud, you know, Ernest, Slam Dunk Ernest.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I wanted to add that into there for the family entertainment aspect. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. I think that's pretty much, I mean, for our current events, I mean, from what I got out of it. I mean, other than, I mean... I mean, everything's been buzzing on the internet today, and I'll tell you what, this one just gave me the giggles today because I was laughing hysterical about the fact that, you know, we're here in the local NEPA area, and of course, up in Dixon City, you know, a lot of people in the morning, and they're going to get their Starbucks, and there was a video that went viral all over Facebook today. Okay. I don't know if you caught this, did you?
No, not... It doesn't sound like it.
Somebody actually videotaped this. And go back. I'm sure you could find it, Jen. So, like, during the break, we'll definitely look at it. You'll be laughing your ass off. I guarantee it. You'll be laughing until you fall asleep.
Okay.
But literally somebody caught the driver behind them in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
There was a couple having sex in the front seat. Not even joking. Not like... even joking. Like, yes. Like, up and down motion, the car was moving up and down, and the lady was like, oh my god, is this for real right now?
In the drive-thru?
In the drive-thru!
Oh my god.
Jen, I'm not even joking. I'll send you the link. All right, but what a good laugh today, guys. If everybody's chiming into our episode this week and they know what we're talking about. And for how many people shared that? I mean, well, it probably got a big share because everybody being here in the local area, everybody was posting it. So, yeah.
That's nuts.
It was a good laugh today. I have to say that. Like
That's nutsy.
I'm still thinking of it. It's like, my god, you know? I bet there. No need to ask me if I had if I need extra whipped cream on my latte.
Ew, Matt, no! For the love of God!
I know.
Kid show.
Shame on me. Two points deducted. Bad Gryffindor. Okay.
Oh my God! All right. I think we're gonna take a break just so we can go wash your mouth out with soap.
I think that's a good point. So, you know, Jen's going to order me to the bathroom right now with a bar of soap. And that's going to be the Christmas story style where I'm sitting in there asking, where did I hear that word? No, but really, it's a good point to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to get into business. So, Jen, do you want to take us to break?
Yeah. All right, guys, stick around and we'll be right back.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So we're just getting back after that
soap cleaning
of my mouth. Shame on me.
The red bar.
Yep. Bad baby. All right. So yeah, we're back, and I mean, we got business to take care of. We just went through some steady current events. Right now, I just want to make sure that, you know, what we're snacking on here, what we're drinking. I'm enjoying a nice IPA from Cape May, New Jersey here. I'm enjoying the Double India Pale Ale City to Shore. Thanks, Matt Washkush, for bringing that back for me because he knows that Cape May Brewing is literally like a top five brewery for me. I love that brewery. I'm actually really upset that I couldn't get out there this year. So thank you for bringing that back.
There you go.
But yeah, we got some business to take care of, and we're on sequels now. So
the good,
where
the bad, the sequels.
Do we go? Yes, the good, the bad, and the sequel.
All right, so Matt and I have made lists, and we're just going to kind of, like, go back and forth, have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
These are not ranked films. So,
exactly.
Like, the first one that we start off with is not our favorite sequel. The last one that we end off with is not the least favorite sequel.
That's a good point to bring up, definitely, because we did not rank these.
Just a conversation about shit that we like.
Yep, exactly.
So
don't grill us, please.
Yes, yes. And like, I know some of these, you know, they could be a fight to the death, but so let's wait and see.
But I'll tell you what, you know who could actually do a good job ranking sequels?
Nino.
Yeah. And also
asking Nino to come on.
Maybe that's an idea for our friends over there at Falling Down the Rankings, the best sequels of all time.
Challenge accepted.
Okay.
I feel like based on personal opinion too.
It really is. And, you know, a lot of people, because I think we have to kind of define this right here in the very beginning. When we talk about a sequel, right, we're not just talking about that it's the second movie or second installment of a movie franchise.
Yes.
It's any event or any book or a movie that follows afterward of the original. So you could talk about there's two sequels, there's three sequels, there's four sequels. It's anything that follows after the original.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
So I want you to start.
So I kind of went, I don't want to say like off topic, but I misinterpreted the assignment.
Oh, well, hey, now.
My list is sequels that are better than the original films.
Okay. And well, like, that's not bad.
No. And like some of them match on your list that I can see. So like just right. Starting with, like, you know, the first one that I have listed is I like Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest better than the original Pirates film.
Okay.
I love that film. We get Davy Jones, man. I love Davy Jones.
And I mean, I like all the Pirates of the Caribbean films. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, what was my favorite and what was my worst, because I really think that that was an awesome.
Chest is my favorite.
Okay. To say that it's better than the original, I would probably disagree, because I really love the original. Yeah, but I love your opinion to it. There's obviously a little bit more heart-struck meaning for you, you know? What else you got?
I have another controversial Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Oof. I love the second one way more than the first one.
Okay.
Then I've got... I'm assuming you disagree, the way that you said, oof.
Well, the funny thing is, I didn't have any of the Transformers on my picks.
Oh, really? See, I love that. Just the film series in general.
So I'll rule that one out.
Okay.
But go ahead. Keep going. I'm interested.
Thor Ragnarok.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah.
I think that Ragnarok is probably the best Thor film that we have to date.
Okay. Better than the first, huh?
Everybody knows that I love Taika Waititi, so, you know, that man is just a genius.
Well, I would think, because, like, I'm trying to put, like, two and two together here. Like, I mean, it can't be Jeff Goldblum. It has to be the other guy.
Taika, yeah.
Yeah.
Then if we keep rolling, I've got Captain America Civil War. Better than the original.
Okay. That is one that I could find right here, very common interest, because so I have that Captain America.
You agree?
I agree. I had that as a pick for, like...
Better than the original.
It was better than the original. Okay. Yep. 100%.
I have The Mummy Returns.
Ooh.
Mr. Brendan Fraser himself.
Yeah.
I like the second one better than the first one, just because, like, there were some critical years in between one and two, and I'm all for one when, like, the CGI gets, like, fancy and cool, so, like, that's why I like the second one better.
Not on my favorable list of picks, but it was an honorable mention.
Yeah, it's definitely a good sequel, it's good.
Oh my god, for sure. And here's the thing, I would even go this far, I would say it's actually better than the original.
It's better than the original. I love it.
I get more excited watching that second Brendan Fraser Mummy movie more than the first one.
See, like, I do like the first one because it introduces us to, like, a lot of the main characters. Sure, the monster. And everything. Yeah, but it's just, it's good. It's very good.
Oh, definitely.
So then I come to, of course, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, which is, in my opinion, the best Star Wars film, only, like, upscaled by a, dare I say, a prequel movie.
Oh, I know where you're going.
I feel like it's like a tie, but like Rogue One is like my next favorite.
Oh, so wow. I did not expect that.
You didn't know that? Yeah, Rogue One is like my second favorite. I don't know, like Empire Strikes Back and Rogue One is like tied for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, because, like, I don't know where that would... Because consider it, like, I mean, we do know that it's part of the Star Wars franchise. Mm-hmm. It's a Star Wars story. But where do we land that? I mean, because I'm thinking to myself, would that be a... It's an in-between, because I wouldn't even call it... I mean, it's considered a prequel.
It's a prequel
to
4, sure.
Right, it's a prequel to 4. You're right. So I would say, like, if we had a section here tonight where it was like, hey, what were some of the greatest prequels that you watched? That film would definitely land in there in a top 10 spot. It would. No question about it.
So would The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I love that film.
I love The Phantom Menace. Come fight me. Fuck you people.
The Gungans.
Yeah, man. I mean, fuck Jar Jar Binks, but every other Gungan on that freaking planet, they have my uttermost respect.
I agree. Like,
even Boss Nass.
Yeah. Okay? Like, I like when we play Battlefront and we play, you know, like, the Republic, and it's just like, you get to see all your favorite places.
Like, if they had Jar Jar Binks in there as a playable character.
Play.
Like,
I'd play it just to throw myself off cliffs.
I would play it just so he gets shot. You know? Fuck that. And throw it off cliffs, yeah. We want to see the most utter respect for the Gungan.
Yeah, which, like, I'm really upset that, like, we didn't get to play that level.
Yeah, that was, like, it was only that 1 week release around the Christmas time. I wish they would do that again.
Battlefront people, if you're listening, bring the level back permanently so we can play it.
We want to play in Odagunga.
We want to play it. Maybe it'll be so, in the next one.
That's a good mention. I really want to applaud you for that. I'm going to make sure... Oh, man, I can hear them already applaud. Hear that? I can already hear it.
All right, so then if we get back on track here...
Go ahead, back on track.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes! Okay, awesome. Film. Yes, I love that one, too. Wasn't on my picks, and you know what? I'm kind of sad that I didn't grab that. I did pick a Mad Max, but we're going back to the Mel Gibson
I went Road Warrior. Yeah, I like Fury Road better.
Totally.
Tom Hardy.
Yep.
So then this one is my favorite sequel of the Fast and the Furious franchise. Fast 5 is my favorite Fast and Furious movie.
I hate all the movies.
Oh, Matt, no.
They're garbage.
It's like a stab in the chest.
The only most important thing that we should learn from those movies is family is everything.
Well,
family
your wife support. Likes those movies, and like I'm sure she'd agree with me.
Well, she would. I know she would. And she'd probably be telling me, you know, I could just hear every obscenity coming out of her mouth right now.
Well.
Put her in the bathroom for the soap.
So if we steer a hard left here, The Dark Knight.
Okay, Dark Knight, definitely. I would say, and you know what? That's better than the original.
So
can we agree on that?
Yes.
Real quick.
So I also really liked Batman Begins, though.
I did too.
I really liked it.
I did too, but you know, when you go into a movie franchise where, okay, Christian Bale at that time was bringing on a new emphasis of Batman. It was a new style of Batman. And of course, that ending scene in Batman Begins is where we got the calling card of the Joker, because correct. We knew that was going to be our next bad boy victim coming up.
I'll never forget when Lauren and I went to see that. We were camped out at Regal because it was like...
People lost their shit when that Joker card came up.
It was like a 10 p.m. movie for like The Dark Knight. And like, so they were playing Batman Begins at first, and like, we showed up, we stopped at Panera, we were eating our food in the lobby, and like, the guy was talking to us that was like, you know, the ticket terror, and he's like, you know, if you guys, like, go and get tickets for like, Batman's Begins, he's like, you'll be able to keep your seat for The Dark Knight. And he's like, then you wouldn't have to like, wait in line, like, you're sitting out here in the lobby, and we were like... Oh, so like
one flat rate pay for every movie
for the two of them. Yeah,
for the two of them. Mm-hmm. Right. It wasn't a separate pay.
It was like you essentially bought like two movie tickets per person.
Well, that's a good deal then.
Yeah,
that's a good deal.
So like, and we're just like, well, can we bring like our Panera? And he's like, yeah, just stuff it in your purse. I don't care. It was like, it was a great night, you know?
Kudos to that guy. Whoever that guy is, he's good in my book.
There was like a Karen behind us that was like screaming because
they
weren't going to empty the theater and make everybody that was in the theater come out so that everybody else could go in and get a seat. And he's like, no. He's like, this is their reward. And like the manager like came in, he's like, if they're paying double the price, they get to keep their seats.
That's awesome.
So
that is, yeah, fuck you, Karen.
Yeah, so we got to see two Batman films in one night. That was a good one. That was one for the books,
by the way. I had to crack another one there.
There you go. If we keep rolling along here, I've got Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. The Two Towers for me is my favorite film out of the three. And I think it's better than the first one, The Fellowship of the Ring. Two words. I'm going to say two words here.
We are on top of the world tonight, me and you.
We are. But there's two words here that I'm going to say that makes it better. Yes, that makes The Two Towers better than Return of the King and The Fellowship of the Ring. Helm's Deep.
Yes.
Helm's Deep, man.
That freaking battle.
Fantastic. It was definitely the biggest like cinematic battle to date until like Game of Thrones had to come along and like do the Night King battle, which like we're not going to talk about.
No, but let's be honest here, because we have seen a fair share of cinematic battles take place in a lot of different movies, and I'm talking about anything from Harry Potter, I'm talking about the Avengers, I'm talking about maybe even your wartime movies of Saving Private Ryan. All I'm saying is we have seen the cinematic experience of big battles take place.
Yeah.
And that is one movie, even though that is a whole total different genre of Middle Earth, that battle was freaking epic in so many ways. I remember the adrenaline rush of just watching our favorite characters. Legless, you have... I mean, that part where he's just going right down the freaking steps. He's stepping on a shield and freaking arrows galore, just going right into the orcs.
Yes.
I mean, for the age I was, too. I mean, as soon as we got done watching that movie, I remember there was like five of us or six of us at the time. We went right over to Adventure Games. There we are playing Magic the Gathering, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't stop talking about that freaking film. And, of course, the part where everybody's like, oh, my God, Legolas coming down the steps there.
Yes.
It was cool. It was great shit. I would even say film. It was better than some of the Star Wars battles that we saw.
I'd have to agree with that.
You know? But yeah, you're right, man. Two words. Helm's deep.
And then, you know, you're just shut down after that. Helm's deep.
Yep.
So then, keep rolling with the fantasy. I'm going to go with, and this is going to be controversial, but, like, I don't care, y'all. This is my favorite. So, like, my favorite Harry Potter book and film is The Goblet of Fire.
Wow.
And I know that people are going to, like, drag me for it because, like, the Prisoner of Azkaban is the best one. Yes, it's a good one, but The Goblet of Fire is literally one of the books that is just completely different for the plot series.
Okay.
You know, like, we have the Triwizard Tournament. There's, like, a nice little competition going on right in the middle of, like, the story. You know what I mean? Like, it's my favorite. So, like... I'm putting The Goblet of Fire.
Okay.
I know that everybody's going to say The Prisoner of Azkaban. Yes, that was also good.
No, because The Prisoner of Azkaban was... I mean, that was a really good story.
Yeah, it was.
But I don't knock you for The Goblet of Fire. I'm kind of shocked because that's what I would think, like, being a diehard Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. It's so expected to hear somebody say, The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, no.
No, but you know what, though?
I just gotta go left wing and Goblet of Fire, man.
No, but you know what, though? I'm on the left wing with you because, honestly, my favorite story out of all the Harry Potter books was The Half-Blood Prince.
Really?
No, I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. Okay. I don't know why. But there was just so many memorable points of that movie that I was so attached to, and I loved how J.K. Rowling actually wrote the book.
Yeah, I was actually on vacation with my mom the day that book came out at midnight. My dad went to pick Lauren up to go to Borders to get our tickets so we could have our spaces in line to get the books. Like, because my mom and I were literally, like, driving home, and then my dad was going to, like, meet us at the house. And, like, you know, essentially, like, I was going to get in the car and go to Borders to get the book.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. We did all the midnight premiere books for Harry Potter.
That's pretty cool, though.
So, and then my next one here, I'm going to do another hard turn, which is probably something people aren't going to expect from me. But
oh, turn it hard. Let's go.
Desperado.
Oh, the Antonio Banderas films.
Yeah, from the Mexico trilogy. So, like, you have El Mariachi, then Desperado, then Once Upon a Time in Mexico, which is also,
Once
like,
Upon a fantastic. Time in Mexico is fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Mike, wow, look at this. Mm-hmm. We are on path tonight.
Yes.
This is called the cycle, people.
Yes. So, yeah, I liked Desperado and Once Upon a Time in Mexico better than the original.
Wow, that's awesome.
And, like, those ones were, like, what, like, 90s, early 2000s, right? Like, I used to watch them with my dad.
I would say the 90s to the early 2000s, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then if we...
Selma Hayek was in those films, too, yep.
Banderas, yes.
Yep.
Fantastic. That's cool stuff.
Yeah. Any other ones on your picks? Like, we're still in the good here, so we're still sequel wise.
I've got some more.
Go ahead, keep going.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay, I have Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. Mm-hmm. That was a 1982 film.
So this
yours
is
a little bit more
the
modern.
Chris Pine, yes.
Yes, yeah, yours is more modern, and that is a good sequel. I will admit to
the
that.
The story is just fantastic, which is, like, pretty much the same thing.
Totally, 100%. I agree with you. I'm not bagging on that.
So there's two words though that my movie has that yours doesn't.
Go for it. I want to hear them.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ah. I got two words for you that I love. Doctor Strange.
I like him, too.
I love Stephen Strange. He's a good guy.
All right, so then if we keep with the Marvel here, I've got X2 X-Men United.
Okay.
Which I saw, I was pleasantly surprised that I saw that on your list as well.
Yeah, this is definitely on my list. I was very close to actually marking it a better than the original.
See, I think
BTO.
It's better than the original.
Yeah, I did not mark this a BTO, but it was very close. Like, I was actually debating it, because I went through my list, and I'm like, listen, I just want to make sure that, you know, looking at what I listed here, you know, I want to say, like, they're good ones. There's definitely great moments and memories of them because of loving them and liking them as a sequel. But when you say BTO, I mean, that's a pretty high ranking and a very high status, because BTO is huge.
Yes.
If you're saying it's better than the original, then that's got the ooh and the ah for everybody to venture into.
See,
you know?
I think it's BTO because we get...
You think it's BTO for?
Yeah, X2. Yeah, I think it's better than the original because where I love, you know, the Sabretooth and the Magneto, X2, you get a whole bunch of mutants. And, like, you get to see...
Yeah, different.
One of my favorite mutants. Oh, my gosh. His name is just...
Iceman?
No,
Bobby?
I like Iceman, but, oh, my gosh. He's the Silver guy.
Are you... The Silver Surfer?
No.
That's Marvel.
Yes, I know, but he's not the X-Men. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's
like,
Fantastic
literally
Four.
His name just, like, came... It's gone.
Are you talking about the guy that could evaporate and...
No, he turns into metal.
Oh, you're talking about Colossus.
Colossus. I love Colossus.
Yeah, Colossus was in the Deadpool films as well.
He was, yes. But, like, he was a good guy in the X-Men. He was one of the kids.
He also has a villainous story, too, in the X-Men series.
He does. But I just like, you know, Stryker, and, like, he was a creepy man, Brian Cox.
He was an asshole.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, like, you get to see a lot of Wolverine, which is obviously Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is... If that is one perfect casting, that, like, hits the nail on the head for me.
I'll tell you what. Anybody that had a problem with Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine... could get the fuck out. No.
There's the door.
Yeah, there's the door, asshole. You know, but no, I'm dead serious. I mean, if you want to talk about perfect casting, and I 100% agree with that, I have always endured and loved Hugh Jackman's portrayal of the Wolverine.
Yep, me too.
And that's what I'm going at. I'm
all
even
films.
Giving him, yeah, of all films. Even Logan, my
Logan
God.
Made me, I was crying in Logan.
I was too. Ugh. I was too. Yep. I was too.
It's like, you know, like you go on this journey with a character for like so long, and it's just
right. Yeah. And I think too, being a comic book lover of the X-Men, like if you have that sentimental value to it, where you actually lived and you grew up on the X-Men,
yes,
I did because I have tons of comics.
X-Men and Spider-Man, Saturday morning cartoons were like my gateway drug into Marvel.
Yeah, they were my cartoons. Mm-hmm. They were my superheroes. Yep. The X-Men and Spider-Man. Yep.
Yep. And
the
then,
animated series.
Like, then there was the X-Men on Cartoon Network. It was X-Men Evolution. Like, I watched all of them. All of
them. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that one, though.
No, but I still watched it.
Yeah, I why I didn't do that, I don't know why.
And, like, don't think for a second that when they hit Disney Plus, I didn't watch all of the X-Men comics. Like, the comic
I was doing
shows.
That to the Spider-Man, yeah. I was doing that with the animated series, yep.
So, I had to
reliving the glory days of coming home to the Fox Kids Network,
yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
Before you get hit with that freaking 5 o'clock boring-ass news program that mom and dad are going to
watch.
Yep. Yep. Well, this Prime isn't time. My calling. I guess I'm going to go back to my room now.
Yes.
You know?
So then, if we keep rolling with, like, the fantasy series here, I liked Hunger Games Catching Fire, the second one.
Yes! Oh my god, I have that on my list, too.
Mm-hmm. So, like, the second
I actually,
book
that was close
film,
to getting a BTO, by the way.
It's BTO for me. It's my favorite book/movies of the series.
That was close to getting a BTO.
And then, finally on my BTO list, I have, which I also see is on your list, but it doesn't have the BTO, it's Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. It's BTO for me. I just watched both of these.
See, I still think
the
original
past, like, 2 weeks. See, it's the story for me. It's the story of, like, the Royal Seal and, like, everything about the Golden Army and the king and the prince and the princess and, like, how everything just flows for me. Like, I feel like the first one, like, was still cool as fuck because, like, you know, it was Rasputin and World War II Nazis. Like, it was great, but, like, I just feel like there was a sense of, like, balance and flow to the second one that the first one was missing.
Okay, yeah. See, I'm getting more of that vibe where it's like you had a better understanding for it because you were more inclined to the story of it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, me, I mean, that original one was just, I don't know, like, when I watch both of them, I could definitely enjoy all the Hellboy films. But, like, it's not where it's going to be a point where it's like, well, yeah, you know, I want to watch this one because it's better. No, I still think the first one was kind of a good impression, and that's how I want to keep it. So I couldn't give the Golden Army that BTO status because I still love Hellboy, just the original one.
Did you see the newest one, the 2019 one?
I did, but I wasn't a fan. David, you know, Harvard, like I wasn't a fan because, like, I mean, it's just like when you watch everything that you've seen before, and I mean, I don't want that to contradict what I just said. You
I
know,
love
but
Ron Perlman.
It was just a different style, I guess you could say.
Yes,
you know,
like Ron Perlman, also perfect casting for Hellboy.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, 100%.
So, like, when they said, like, David Harbour was going to be, like, the next one, I was like, ooh, interesting. But, like, I really wish they would have given us a Hellboy 3, because in Hellboy 2, you find out that Liz is pregnant with the twins.
Yep.
So I really would have liked to see a Hellboy and Sons.
Yeah.
But we sadly did not get that.
And I like that Hellboy. He loves kittens, mm-hmm. You know?
The cats.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
The soft side.
And that concludes my BTOs.
Okay. So let me go on to my picks here.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going to go here and talk about every story and everything, but we'll try and just briefly go across
them. Yeah, because, like, we've got a lot of the same.
We do. So here were my picks. The Godfather Part 2. I have to put that up there on the list big time.
Yeah, BTO, I agree.
BTO, it's better than the original. And it was a great story. I mean, all the events that happened in that movie, it was one connection point after another. And it was ecstatic, you know? Terminator 2, Judgment Day. If you go back to the original that James Cameron directed, we remember Terminator as a horror movie. Because Terminator was bad. He was I mean, it was pretty gruesome, too. It was a very violent film.
Can I tell you a secret?
Go ahead.
So, like, I've seen all six of the Terminator films. It's like...
But never the original?
What? No, I've seen them all. But it's just not my favorite film series.
Okay. And there's nothing to... I'm not gonna kill you on that. Because you know what? I mean, a lot of people have that, you know? I mean, my brother, I'm gonna toss him out there to the public right now because he will never watch a Harry Potter film in his life because he fucking hates it. You know, he just doesn't like the concept of it, you know, and that's cool. But there's a lot of people that love it, and I'm sure there's another portion of people that hate it, you know. Mm-hmm. That's kind of just like what you just said with the Terminator movies, you know. People love it, people hate it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but Terminator 2 gets a huge ranking on my list, and honestly, I love this movie. I think that this actually goes down as the all-time ultimate sequel of a movie franchise.
See, I think Empire Strikes Back takes the cake for me.
That would be my number two.
Yeah.
That would be my number two.
Yeah.
But Terminator 2, Judgment Day, that wasn't just the horror part, because I think Terminator moved out of that direction. They were really gearing up for an action thrill movie.
Right.
And Terminator 2 captivated on that in all points. There was I'm not going to sit here and say that it's a horror movie, because it really wasn't. But I categorize
it's like a thriller,
it's a thriller. It's adventure, you know? Adventure, action, thriller movie. But it definitely deserves the credit. And it was better than the original, in my opinion. And I'm sure 99.9% of the people that have studied film will probably agree with that.
Okay.
Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back.
Agree.
Love it. Phenomenal. It's better than the original. It is a granddaddy of sequels. It is number two on my top 10 of all time. Aliens. All right.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was a good one. It was right after the original, just Alien. All right, Sigourney Weaver films. Aliens was fucking epic. Was it better than the original? Not in my opinion. Yet. I'm sure that's pretty debatable. And that's why I'm saying I thought you were going to bring that up. It is debatable. All right, now to go to a little bit more. Ghostbusters 2, loved
I
it.
Love
it was
that
off.
Film.
Oh, come on.
Vigo?
You know, yeah. You know, who doesn't? Yeah, I mean, Viggy.
Yeah.
You know, you've been a bad monkey. But Ghostbusters 2, great. Back to the Future, Part 2. Back to the Future in general, it's one of the movies that have made us over the years and have
Marty
loved.
McFly.
And, I mean, exactly. Marty McFly, George McFly, Doc Brown, The DeLorean. I'm even going to throw in there Einstein. And, of course, you got Big Bad Bastard Biff,
yep.
You know? We love him to hate him, all right? But The Dark Knight, too, all right? That was on your list, right?
Yes.
You had that? Okay, The Dark Knight, better than the original. I have Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan from 1982.
Mm-hmm.
The ending always chokes me up, and I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, but you just have to know the understanding of it and the loyalty and the love of the movie. Evil Dead 2, cult classic. Come on now.
That's a where great we get the film.
Come on. Cult classic, it is phenomenal. X2, X-Men, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, better than the original. Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, better than the original.
Film's deep.
The Hunger Games,
Catching Fire.
Pew! All right. And then here's another one I had on my list. D2, The Mighty Ducks.
I love D2.
D2 is my favorite out of those movies.
I think I have to agree with you.
Yep. Come on now. The introduction of characters that we got to love and grow with, you know?
Speaking of the Mighty Ducks, did you see that the Game Changers, Mighty Ducks Game Changers, they got greenlit for season 2?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, that was cute. So, I'm glad we'll get more of Gordon Bombay.
Me too.
Hopefully they can get the originals guys to come back again. Those were the best episodes.
I think it's inspirational for that, too, you know?
Yes.
Superman 2, Christopher Reeve's Day. That's definitely getting a worthy spot on my picks. 22 Jump Street, comedy movie,
nope.
Definitely better.
Nope.
A better version of it.
I don't really like those films. I'm not a comedy person.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, when I say better than, I don't want to say better than the original.
Yeah.
But in movie concept, it was better.
It was good.
I guess, yeah, growing up with this in this era. Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Bright Light.
Yeah, I love that. Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. Bride of Frankenstein, a horror classic.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, that movie was just epic in many ways. Blade 2 gets a spot on my picks. Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire movie. And I will actually go out there to fight and defend it.
Matt and
to
I
the
are
death
fight over this one.
That it was better than the original.
This is one that I don't agree with.
It's better than the original.
I like the Green Goblin storyline better. Don't get me wrong. Like, Doc Ock was freaking cool. Like, that was great. But, like, to me, I like the first Spider-Man better. I love a good origin story. And, like, I feel like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man gave us literally everything we could have asked for in an origin story.
All I remember is, I remember this day like it happened just yesterday. I'm in the theater with Danny Rosler, my boy, and I'm in there with Matt Kowalczyk. The three of us go to see this movie. And it was funny because the moment that we got the introduction to Dr. Octavius, Dr. Octopus, it was the emergency room scene that literally sparked it all.
Okay.
And you had a jam-packed theater that night. When that shit was hitting the fan, the kids were crying. Everybody was going nuts, like, oh my God. Like, I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember Dan's reaction. He knocks Kowalczyk's popcorn out of his hand. He's slapping him in the cheeks. And then here's a slapping match going on during one of the most important moments in the goddamn movie. And it's like, guys. You know? And I could just remember that. Like, it was just, it's one of those things that stick with you. If they're listening to this and they hear this part, I hope to God I'm bringing a refresh to your memory on that. But yeah. It's better than the original. I like Spider-Man 2. Just the villain part. Because Dr. Octopus was so big.
Octavius.
Yeah, and I think that villain was portrayed so well. The story behind it too, with Peter and the connection there with Dr. Octavius. Yeah, I liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
And then the other sequel that I have on my picks that I liked being considered part of the good is The Lost World Jurassic Park.
I like this one. I do. I do like this one because we get Julianne Moore.
Yeah. I had enough toys back in the day on this film because I had the dinos with the bite action. They had the pieces that would come out of them where it would show and expose their bone and blood, the tissue.
Oh,
so every time you take apart the piece. Yeah. So, and I remember one Christmas, I think it was back in 96 or 97, my parents got me the trailer, they got me the dinosaurs with the rip action and everything like that. I was having a field day for that. I think it was the same year that I got my first game, my Game Boy Color, okay. Pokemon Red.
There you go. I had a team.
What a Christmas.
What a Christmas.
Yep. But I think, too, at this point, Jen... Why don't we go into some honorable mentions?
All right.
I'm going to just list a couple. Do you have some that you could add to the list as well?
No, I think yours are pretty good because I didn't do honorable mentions. I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay. I have the John Wick sequels. I have Home Alone 2.
I have to stop you for a second. So the John Wick sequels. So to me, 2 and 3 were awesome and amazing. And we're also going to get a Starz TV show out of this called The Continental.
It's going to be The Continental.
About the hotel. And I think it's just going to be like 3 episodes or something like that. It's going to be like a micro series.
That's pretty cool.
But like, so the first film for me is obviously the best. But I just very, like 2 and 3 are just right behind it, like neck and neck, like it's photo finish. So for me, like John Wick across the board is just fantastic and phenomenal.
Yeah, from one chapter to the next, it's great.
I can't wait to see 4.
Yeah, I mean, I just caught up. I actually just saw the third one recently. Actually, because I remember telling you that months ago. Remember I told you I didn't see the third one? I needed to catch up on that?
No, and I probably have the same reaction.
Yeah, so I mean, and I loved it. I thought it was phenomenal.
It's great.
You know? And I just love that ending part where he's like, "Are you pissed?" And he's like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
I'm mad, whatever it was, you know? But another honorable mention will go to Home Alone 2.
Lost in New York, love it.
Lost in New York was phenomenal. And it's a great Christmas movie of all time. Yeah, the bricks, right? Suck, brick, kid! You want to throw a brick, Jimmy? All right, man! Nobody throws bricks at me. Get up, Marv. And Marv's got a concussion right now. And here's Joe Pesci kicking him on the ground.
Oh, God. I love those movies.
And then you got Toy Story. The Toy Story sequels. I just want to add this in as an honorable mention because Pixar is just phenomenal, whatever they touch. Any project No, and I just want to kind of elaborate on the most recent stuff. Like, I watched Soul, I watched Coco. Those last two movies that I watched from Disney with the Pixar productions, oh my God, like, they made, there was a lot of up and down emotions because, yeah, it's fun, it's thrilling,
There's a new one, too, that I have to watch, Luca. That one just came out.
I did not see it, but I heard it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Pixar is just amazing. Pixar, DreamWorks, it's all fantastic.
But yeah, the Toy Story movies, they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
They were absolutely phenomenal. The sequels get an honorable mention. I wish I could.
Really sad, though.
Yeah, the third one does make me sad. But I'm glad that they get passed on to a good ending.
Yes.
Not a bad ending, a good ending, you know?
Yeah. But even like lots
somebody
of
that
though,
can enjoy that the toys and love them sad. Like Andy did, you know?
Yes.
Well, you know, Andy's got to go to college. He's got to experience, you know, the college kind of things.
Yes.
I'm not. I don't want any more soap in my mouth tonight.
College things. Jesus Christ, Matt.
Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls. That's getting an honorable mention. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2: Secret of the Ooze. The Mummy 2, which was The Mummy Returns.
Yeah.
And then Batman Returns: Batman Forever. They yes. will get my honorable mentions for tonight, and I would hope that you agree with my list, Jenna. If not, please tell me any of discrepancies.
Yeah, so far we're right on par there.
Okay, good.
All right, so sequels that should never have happened. I just have a couple
I'm letting you start with this one.
I'm going to disagree with some of these too. So
okay, go ahead.
So, like, for me, Spider-Man 3, no. Just no. Like,
it should have never happened.
Yes. I understand why it did, but, like, it just went incredibly wrong.
But Topher Grace's Venom?
Yeah, please. We're not gonna discuss. We're not.
I know.
So,
Awful.
Very awful. Especially now that we have, like, Tom Hardy's Venom and, like... I'm not going to knock Venom because, like, Venom is important. Yes. Like, the movie still left me wanting more, but, like, my favorite part of Venom is how, like, Tom Hardy, like, runs around like a sweaty, miserable piece of... He looks like a piece of trash the entire time.
Oh, he looks infected.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, man, you look like shit. Yeah. I am shit. You know?
So, like, I think that's, like, really important. And, like, I was actually just talking to Zach about this the other day. We were talking about the trailer and how, like, when Venom sees Carnage for the first time and he's like, oh, that's a red one.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer?
It kind of gave me that Hulk impression where the Hulk didn't want to come out, you know? Yes. But yeah, no, that's going to be good. And, you know, Carnage, I love that because one of my favorite series in Marvel ever was the Maximum Carnage series with Spider-Man and Venom team up.
Okay.
And that's, and I do, I'm predicting that there is going to be a Spider-Man and a Venom tie-in with Tom Holland's Spider-Man and Tom Hardy's Venom to go after Carnage.
All right.
Yep. I hope it comes to life. Let's make Maximum Carnage happen.
Okay.
But go ahead. What else?
The Jaws sequels. So I like 1 and 2, but yeah, I don't two, want yep. 3 and 4.
3 I could live with.
Okay.
4? No way.
No.
Should have never happened.
No, I agree.
And when you get a 2.5 out of 10 or a 3 out of 10 rating from Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, yeah, that should not be... That's not good.
So
it's not good.
You're going to love my next one. There are, 4 or 5 Anaconda movies?
Oh, come on.
I will take 1 and 2, but the rest of them are the most, they're like the sci-fi production ones, and it's the most ridiculous things I have probably ever seen in my entire life. They should have just stopped at 2. 2
I don't
wasn't
think they
the
ever
best.
Should have made an Anaconda film.
Listen, it was wonderful, Matt. I love Anaconda.
I know you do.
Who doesn't want to go on a jungle cruise and see giant snakes? Who doesn't want to do that, Matt?
You know my position on this.
I know, but this is literally why I had to include it so I could.
You know what I'm doing. I'm just like scribbling Die Hard into my yellow notepad over here, like, oh, fucking
gosh. Anaconda. There's 3 things that I have to mention to like get on Matt's nerves, and it's the Seattle Kraken, Anaconda, and like how I consistently have to mention Keanu Reeves.
And this has happened, like, I'll say,
at least
like
once
50.
A week.
52 out of 61 episodes.
Yes. Anaconda. You know? So, all right, I'm gonna stop there because, like, I know we're like running out of time a little bit.
We are. We're coming down to the close. But
down
I mean,
to the wire.
Yeah. So here's some of the ones that I say
now,
that should have never happened.
Get ready for some arguments here. So go ahead.
There is gonna be some arguments, and I'm gonna save some of the ones that I know that you think you're gonna go after me about.
Okay.
So The Crow, City of Angels.
I disagree. I like it.
I hated it.
Okay.
Hated it.
There's how many?
I think The Crow should have just I mean, there probably was more after that, but I mean, it probably wasn't anything more memorable. Like, it probably was TV movie
right.
or TV show
so,
related.
Well, there's 4.
I know sci-fi
so
had a series of The Crow.
Well, there's 4 movies. So, like, there's The Crow, there's City of Angels, there's Salvation, uh-huh. and then there's Wicked Prayer. I hated the fourth one, didn't mind the third one, and the second one was just meh. So I really like 1 and 3, and 2 was just kind of eh.
The first one will always be
the best.
The best.
Yes.
It's a revenge story, and I mean, the gothic element to it. And the story by itself is just phenomenal.
Okay.
But that second one is just... I'm not going to sit here and say it was the god-awful movies, but I think that we didn't have to touch The Crow at all. After the Crow, it could have been just left at that movie.
Right, but that's what City of Angels wasn't needed. It was a cult classic.
It was. And I get why they wanted to go after another sequel, because it gained a lot of fandom. It gained a lot of popularity. And you had... Remember Iggy Pop was in there, too?
Yes.
Iggy Pop was one of the bad guys? Mm-hmm. Scumbag. His character was just awful. But, I mean, great musician, Iggy Pop and the Stooges, you know, if anybody knows the punk band and the punk music. But my God, what a bad portrayal of a person in a movie. Grease 2 should have never happened.
See, I like that one.
God, Danny Zuko.
Well, it's
Danny Zuko is pointing at you and saying, no, no.
Well,
you don't go there.
It's just another generation. It's okay.
Okay. Spider-Man 3, fucking bullshit.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Any of the Home Alones after the second one?
Agree.
Dog shit. Independence Day, Resurgence.
Disagree.
It was...
I liked it.
Listen, good intentions, but I did not like it. I really just wish at that point that they never touched it and they just left Independence Day by itself.
No, see, I love them, so give me more.
Men in Black, International. Awful.
Is this just the newest awful. One with...
The newest one with Chris Hemsworth
see,
and...
See, I didn't hate it. I liked it.
Okay.
It was okay.
Okay.
Was it my favorite one? No, but it was better than the third one. Like, Men in Black 1 and 2 are, like, my solids.
Right. They are solid. I'll agree.
3 was trash.
The third
trash.
One I could live with.
And then the fourth one I could live with. So, like, switch mine and yours, 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I get that. I get that. The Mummy. Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
I also disagree.
I'm sorry, Brendan Fraser. I love you. I'm telling you, you're a great guy and everything, but this movie should not have been made.
See, the only reason why I like it is
and it was very limited in showing Jet Li.
It was. The only reason why I like it is because I do like how they left Egypt for this one, but like it sucks that like Rachel Weisz wasn't, you know, Evie in the film.
I know, but when you that think of mummies me. And you think of the mummy, where else in the world are you ever going to think about digging up a mummy?
I get it, but like that's
not
why...
Not in ancient China.
But that's why they went there, is because so the emperor had all those clay soldiers.
I understand that, yeah. But you know, like...
Underground.
Listen, the story and the tall tale of a mummy is
besides
kept
Egypt.
In the deserts of Egypt.
I get it, but... It's definitely my least favorite, but, like, if it was on
doggy
TV,
poo-poo.
I would still watch it.
It was doggy poo-poo.
Okay, continue.
Terminator 3, The Rise of the Machines.
Okay.
Fucking awful.
Okay.
Jurassic Park 3.
Eh.
It shouldn't have been made.
No, but, like, and a lot of people are saying that, like, they don't like the Jurassic World movies, but I really like them.
I do too. Mm. I think, honestly, if we wanted to try and captivate on something, they could have just went from Jurassic Park
to
The Lost World and then
Jurassic World. I agree.
Right. And Jurassic Park 3 was just a fail.
I feel like...
Probably two parts in that movie that entertained me, and there was one that pissed me off so bad.
I feel like Jurassic
so bad.
Park 3...
When I saw Rexy get killed by the Spinosaurus... That's it. I had it. I had it. I was like, this is fucking shit. Yeah.
I feel like Jurassic World did everything right that Jurassic Park 3 did wrong, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was the right move and the right continuation to the old tale and the old...
Yes.
Yep. Totally agree. Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. That's definitely on my list of... I mean... Here's where I say, because sequels, that should have never happened.
I like the original story that we were supposed to get before we got J.J. Abrams back.
If it was written better and not predictable, I would have appreciated
Predictable,
yes. Because the fact that we bring back, okay, like everything is repeating the cycle of what we have just seen in the last Star Wars trilogy. You know, but now it's just...
Honestly, did you see Palpatine coming back? Did you really predict that? You did?
I did.
See, I didn't, and I was angry when I saw that.
Well, no, because here's why I predicted it. Because even when we saw him go to his demise in Return of the Jedi, you still have the sequence of the Darth Plagueis theory that one could be brought back to life and one could be brought back after death. And I did think that at that point, that if there was any superior of the Dark Lord or of the Sith Order, it was going to be Darth Sidious. So could you see him coming back? Yes, absolutely. I could connect the dots. I could appreciate it. But I wish it was written fucking better.
See, I wish that was completely removed. She's a Palpatine. I just hate every aspect of that. I hate it.
I'm not mad at that part. I am not mad at that part at all. I'm not mad at that part at all.
I wanted it to be something good.
Okay, I get that.
I'm also mad that Ben dies.
Yeah, that was a little... I wasn't expecting that part, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe we were going to get a little bit of a Jedi connection or a Jedi duo at the end.
I'm also furious what they did to Rose.
Okay.
So, yeah, I agree with you on this one. Bye-bye.
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 Jaws 4, The Revenge. Yep. It's going. Bye-bye. It's gone. It's out of here. Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's version, should have never been frickin'... why? Why was this made? That's what I want to know. Why was it made? It sucked. It was bad. It should not have ever happened. Rob Zombie had a good remake and a good revision of the Halloween story just in his first film. It should have just been left at that. The second one with the fucking horse and the goddamn afterlife... What? I mean, it's a drug trip. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Halloween 6. Now, I'm piggybacking on this. Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers. We see Paul Steven Rudd. He's in this movie. And, no, it's the worst Halloween movie that was actually put to that franchise. It was a sequel that should have never been made. I wish they actually just jumped from Halloween 5 right to H2O.
All right,
they
should just. Can I say ahead. One of the horror films that I agree should not have been made? Jason X, Jason Goes to Space.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was.
I just had a piggyback on top of you there.
You know what? You're right. That should have actually made our list tonight. Yeah, how that did not get in here, I'm not sure.
I guess I didn't see your Halloweens until just now, and I was like, oh, why didn't I put Jason X down?
Oh, it's going in there. It's recorded.
It's going in there.
Jason X fucking sucks.
Jason Goes to Space.
Yeah, it's like Leprechaun going to space. What the frig were people thinking about, you know?
Yeah, people are nuts, man.
All right, so that's that. And then I come down to the last, the last one here. Anchorman 2. Awful.
Okay.
Just awful. It should never have been made. It should have just been left at the Ron Burgundy story of just Anchorman, and that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Done.
Okay.
So those are my movies of sequels that should have never happened.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Exactly.
Not that film. That was a good film, people.
That was a great film. Well, Jen, I think at this point, I think we have given a lot of the audience here tonight a big, big intake of sequels. And they definitely have a big high range of list of going in order of looking at, wow, some greats, some goods, some bads, and some ones that I should just never even touch. So
okay.
I think because we delivered that information and we did pretty well with it, I think we're ready to conclude the night. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is a good time to pull the curtain.
Okay. And just a quick little thing here, too. I just want to say happy Friday the 13th to everybody.
Yes, we are recording this on Friday the 13th, and we have 4 minutes left of the day still.
Yep, and I'm fucking pissed at Sci-Fi Network for not giving us that frickin' marathon of what they usually do on every Friday the 13th, of giving us Jason movies. Instead, I turned to the movie tonight, and I'm seeing Olympus Has Fallen. Okay. Where is Friday the 13th? Shame on you, Sci-Fi Network. Shame on you.
Nice.
I hate you.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
All right, so just a reminder to everybody, we discussed it in the beginning of the episode. Our lottery giveaway is still rolling. If you want tickets, reach out to Matt and I. We're going to be selling and raising money for Toys for Tots over the next few weeks. So anything you would like to contribute, even if you just want to buy one ticket for $5, you get 10 chances. It adds up, people. So
it does. It's for a very good cause.
So thank you for everybody that has participated. Thank you to everybody that's thinking about participating and buying our tickets. And yeah, we got some good things in the works coming up for you guys. And
we definitely do.
Yeah, stay tuned. And you know, you could reach out to us on our social media platforms. We have Twitter, Facebook. Matt and I have personal accounts on all the social medias. We also have our garlicjarmedia@gmail.com email if anybody wants to reach out with questions, comments, concerns, or potential topic ideas. Listen, if you guys suggest it, we're going to talk about it.
Absolutely.
So thank you, everybody, for, you know, sticking with us on this journey. And we've got many more things coming your way. And, yeah, everybody...
stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned, stay safe, and we'll be back again next week. And her head went round and round. Oh, she thought I was okay. But he stepped off that train with a high hat, a piccolo, and a.